Untitled, President David O. McKay, David O. McKay, Conference Report, October 1945, pages 111-114, truly, as sung so impressively by the male chorus, we need thee every hour, especially the men who lead this church, not only the general authorities, but those in stakes and wards, in quorums, in organizations, and in the missions, all who in any way have the responsibility of guiding the people, source of power in priesthood. Jesus the Christ is the source of the power of the priesthood. Yesterday morning when the quorums voted as groups, there radiated a power which I am sure was felt by everyone. We felt it tonight when the thousands here assembled sang, "Do what is right." You sang with a force which indicated your intention to do just that thing. As long as the priesthood merits the guidance of Christ by honest and conscientious dealing with their fellow men, by resisting evil in any of its forms, by the faithful performance of duty, there is no opposing power in this world which can stay the progress of the Church of Christ. I am happy to be numbered with you. I am grateful to have the privilege of laboring with this group of men and thousands of fathers in the promulgation of the principles of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been instructed and gratified by the instructions of the brethren who have spoken here tonight. Ward teaching. Without further comment, I wish to mention one phase of ward teaching discussed so eloquently and impressively by Bishop Worthlin. You noted that he mentioned two teachers, each accompanying the other in the performance of their duty. There is a growing tendency for teachers to go alone. We decry this practice. We commend those men who, when they fail to have a partner, are willing to assume the responsibility of visiting the saints without a companion. But for 75 years, and probably longer, it has been the practice of the church that teachers should go two by two, and Bishop Worthlin very eloquently told us why. It is not sufficient for a teacher to say, "I cannot get anybody to go with me." There are too many young men in the Aaronic priesthood who hold the office of teacher or priest, and who will accept an appointment as ward teacher to justify any teacher's going alone. Call a young man to go with you, kneel down with him, as we have been instructed, and then go two by two. Do this for three reasons. First, because we are instructed so to do. Second, because it's for your own protection. You think about that. And third, because you need mutual strength, mutual guidance in giving correction, where it is necessary, and in teaching the doctrines of the church. Instructions regarding calling of missionaries. I wish to say a word also about the calling of missionaries. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. That commission given by the Savior to the ancient apostles is applicable today. I need not elaborate upon the magnitude of missionary work that has been done most eloquently today by Elder Stephen L. Richards and others of the general authorities who have emphasized this theme. I have just two thoughts to express tonight. I have just two further suggestions regarding it, to the question whether returning soldiers or others, who because of some physical defect, have been excused from military service, could be called as missionaries. The answer is yes. The presidents of missions are calling for young men. Missions in Europe, in South America, and the islands are waiting for messengers to come to them. So please recommend these young men who are worthy of a call to service. Presidents of missions are pleading for young men capable of assisting in office work. If presidents of stakes and bishops of wards can find a dozen such within the next month, we shall appreciate it greatly. In making your selection, however, please choose only young men and young women who are worthy to represent the church. The missionary field is not a reform school. True, it does bring about a reformation in those who need reforming. Missionary experience develops character and brings the sincere laborer into spiritual contact with his Father in heaven. But no young man and no young woman should be sent out to be reformed. Stake and ward organizations of the church are established for that purpose. We have been rather embarrassed even within the last few months, because of the insistence on the part of parents or, as in one case, of a bishop, that a young girl should go on a mission when she did not want to go, and, in another case, a young man who was unworthy, Margaret Johnston Graflin, in a poem entitled "To My Son," said, "Remember the world will be quick with its blame, if shadow or stain ever darken your name." Like mother like son is a saying so true, the world will judge largely of mother by you. I should like to apply that thought to the sons and daughters of the church, particularly to the representatives who go into the missionary field. The church will be judged largely by your actions and by what you say. Remember, the world will be quick with its blame, if shadow or stain ever darken your name. It is a great responsibility to represent this church, and every missionary is a representative. You men in business would not think of choosing a representative unless you could trust him or her. Make that your ideal. Bishop, ask yourself, can this man be trusted as a representative of this church? Will this young lady reflect credit upon this great organization? Call young men, yes, but see to it that they are worthy of the trust thus placed in them. These boys who have been out in conditions and in environments that have upset their whole nature, God bless them, they have been true, many of them, but they have been under a strain, they are changed. Now as they come home, put them in an environment where they will become normal, where, above all things, they can render the service of love instead of hate, of salvation instead of death. Many of them have been missionaries while they have been out fighting, but see to it that they are worthy. Talk to them, be kind to them, and when they are worthy, give them the opportunity to go out and preach the gospel. The world is hungry to hear the truth as never before in its history. We have it. Are we equal to the task, to the responsibility God has placed upon us? I am sure with the power we have seen in this priesthood meeting we can answer yes. God qualify our youth and our men in the priesthood everywhere to supply the present crying need of the nations for the truth of the restored gospel. I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.